Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue today with the discussion we began yesterday with Bart Schutz, who's our guest this week. And if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are all archived right there. You can listen to them at your convenience, download them on whatever device works for you. But as I always mentioned, the best way to have access to the programs and listen to them whenever it's convenient for you is just download the Renewal Ministries app or the Ave Maria Radio app, either one. There's just so much there for you at your fingertips and be able to listen when it's most convenient for you. So welcome back, Bart.
Thanks, Peter.
Good to have you back. Well, we talked yesterday, really kind of began the story of your journey, your personal journey, and you described the fact your father left when you were a young man and the impact that began to have on their family and on you in particular. I mean, as you were telling your own personal story. And then we ended yesterday, were you talking about a real moment of grace when you opened your heart to the Lord, and you're on a men's weekend retreat with your Christ Renews His Parish or something?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Christ Renews His Parish thing. And you're there with your older brother, and there's a kind of deep reconciliation and that. So, but let's go from there, because that experience opened up really an amazing kind of unfolding in your whole family over time.
Yeah.
Painful, difficult, very real, but amazing work of God. So, you want to go from there?
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking as you're asking me that, I had mentioned that my father had an affair when I was 2. And then later, my brother Dave, when he was 13, hitchhiked to go find my dad because he was apart from the family for several months.
Oh, wow.
And a lady answered the door with a baby. And that's when my family learned that my father had another family. That baby is our half-brother. And the reason I want to connect that is because that was significant in some of the healing that happened with our father. So my father's been—he's now passed. He's been passed for a couple of years now. But he married 3 times. You know, 7 children with my mom, and then he had 2 children in his second marriage, and then his widow now has 1, who's now older. But some of the healing that happened in our family was a reconciliation among all the children and parents. And so one of the things that happened was Bob invited all my brothers and half-brother, and brother-in-law, and my father to a men's weekend in the mountains of North Carolina, a beautiful setting. And God had already been dealing with me about forgiving my father. And I had a hard time forgiving him until God started showing me the fruit that I'm just like my father. And so as Christ was able to forgive me, I was able to forgive my father. But here we were in the mountains of North Carolina. So if you could picture this, we're in a gazebo on the outside, beautiful mountain setting. And we're all sitting under there having these conversations with our dad. So half-brother, brothers. So my brother Dave, the oldest brother Bob, my brother Wayne, 2 years older than me, myself, our half-brother Rich, our brother-in-law Nick, and another brother-in-law Ken. And we're there, first of all, we're playing and having a great time, you know, just in the outdoors, and then we're sitting under this gazebo having this conversation. And our father, who's been pretty closed emotionally most of his life, was opening up because of the setting. And we were able to ask him all these questions, you know, and it was just connecting dots for us. And just seeing more and more, you know, I'm just like my father. My father's just like me, and Jesus forgives us all, and so I can love my father. I mean, it was just, it was beautiful. It's like I was getting to know this man called Dad. You know, it was really kind of wild.
So is it like you actually got down to the level of what did you do? Why did you do it? What did you do? And stuff like that?
Yeah.
Like real, just like, raw, honest.
Like,
no
Dad, tell us, man, how'd you do this? You know, why'd you leave the family? You know, how many affairs did you have? You know, I mean, that kind of question. And then going, Dad, what was your life like growing up? You know, tell us your story, you know, and gave an insight and a compassion really for why we make the choices we make. You know, it's our brokenness. But in that, it formed a bond with us that wasn't there before. I remember a couple of times sitting there next to my dad. We're sitting there on the mountain, just looking over the beautiful view, just sitting there next to each other. And neither of us know what to talk about. Like, we have no history. And it was just a strange, but I said, you know, let's talk about the elephant in the room. You know, Dad, we don't really know each other very well. How about we get to know each other, you know? And it just kind of formed. And I have a lot of respect for my dad now because he had the courage to face his brokenness and his sin and to come back to the family and ask forgiveness and admit that he was an alcoholic and different things that he had done. But a lot of that happened through brokenness that we went through with our brother Dave. And I don't know if you want me to go into that.
Sure, sure.
So our brother Dave, when my dad left, he was 13, and when we moved to Miami from Pittsburgh. And Dave stayed back in Pittsburgh and lived at our grandparents, but he got cut up in the 60s. And so Dave, as I knew Dave, was my oldest brother who was a heroin addict in and out of prisons. And then I got to know him my senior year of high school as he came back home. He actually almost died in prison. He had he overdosed on drugs. Imagine that, in prison. A lot of stories behind that.
But a lot of drugs in prison.
Yeah. He said he did better in prison than out. That's kind of scary. Yeah. But anyway, so both of his lungs collapsed.
Wow.
And they revived one. He lived, and he came home and lived with us. But he was rough around the edges. But in that time, he went to a trip weekend and was able to forgive himself and receive Jesus' forgiveness and turned his life around. But a few years later, right not long after that men's event that we went with our dad, we found out that Dave had AIDS. He had gotten a hold of a dirty needle. And very difficult, as you can imagine. I mean, and this is when AIDS just became this popular thing in the media, you know. Hmm. Imagine, you know, people now, we talk about COVID. Oh, that person has COVID. Well, imagine it being AIDS, you know. And here we are with our brother, you know, and it's like, oh, my. And so all the pride we had that left, not all of it, but a lot of it got broken in that time. You know, circumstances have a way of breaking us, just like what's happening today in society. Yeah. And that's kind of what we were going through there with Dave. But just the so difficult to watch him shriveling away. He was living in my brother Wayne's house and actually died on my brother Wayne's birthday in his house, March 25th. But that process of his brokenness and, you know, us having to bathe them and clean them and just a vulnerable time. Anyone who's gone through that kind of suffering understands, but a beautiful time because the grace of the Lord in the midst of that. But Dave's desire, we learned later, and he wrote it in his Bible, was that his brokenness, his sickness would bring healing to the family. And it did. So here we are at the funeral. We're reading these different scriptures, different ones of us, brothers and our dad and our sisters and our mom, reading these different scriptures from Dave and just all crying and looking at God's healing and God's redemption through such a horrible evil of AIDS, watching God's redemption and healing. And then the healing and redemption that happened with our father as we would be together and watching Dave suffering and the brokenness and crying in one another's arms and just a lot of healing and restoration. Really, it's a beautiful time.
It's really touching. Just the image, I'm just thinking, you know, you, and it's happening in this family where, you know, you played big-time college football.
Yeah.
Your brother, one of your brothers.
Brother Wayne played quarterback for Virginia.
Was a quarterback at the University of Virginia's big time. Yeah. Played
Bob
football
played,
at Columbia.
Yep.
You got all these big football players.
Linebacker Bob. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're all just, God's touching your hearts and just melding it together. And it happens in the woundedness, you know.
Yes.
It happens in the raw honesty.
That's right.
Of reality.
Yes.
And I think, you know, you've probably seen this in the deep ministry you guys are doing at John mm-hmm. Paul II, is that one of the reasons why people walk away from the church is it doesn't feel real.
Yeah.
Because in part, I mean, there's a lot of things everybody, we can all blame the church for, you know. Mm-hmm. It's easy to know the church's weaknesses and that helps us move away.
Yeah.
But part of the reason we've never gone deeper and trusting with the Lord because we're scared to death to just open our hearts to reality and to just be broken and cry out to God and follow the Lord and take off all the masks, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's the place of healing and renewal and restoration and all that. And if you're not willing to go there, Christianity, it's not going to touch your life.
No.
It's going to feel somewhat irrelevant. Like, what's the value add here? You know what I mean? It's just a lot of requirements and I end up, you know, kicking myself all the time because I don't meet the requirements anyway.
Yeah,
and all that sort of thing. But
It's like that hardened soil that Jesus spoke of. You know, but that was honestly my experience on both sides of that growing up. I always had this longing. I knew of this longing. And honestly, in my Catholic school that I went to and in going to church, I didn't feel like anyone could meet my needs. I didn't feel like it wasn't meeting my needs. And so I was like, what's the point? But I also wasn't vulnerable. But that weekend, that trip weekend, being on the weekend with 50 men who were vulnerable and broken, gave me the permission to be vulnerable and broken, you know, and I was met there. I wasn't just this bleeding heart that wasn't met. I mean, I was able to be safe and be real. These things that I had hidden before, I was now met there. You know, it's like just what you're saying. My soil was soft. You know?
Yeah, and isn't it amazingly disarming? You're in a situation like that. Many men could testify actually eventually going to something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And they're guarded the whole time. They're guarded. They got their guard up. And then it's like overhearing stories of men.
Softened the heart.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, it just starts coming down without even noticing it. It just starts coming down. It does. You know what I mean?
It just has a way
of
doing
trust,
it.
And trust comes from that honest vulnerability that human beings are having. And it's like, and part of the isolation that we've experienced is we've carried this all alone.
That's right.
By ourselves.
That's right.
But
that's a John Wayne, you know, out here, a man takes care of his own problems. You know, that's that,
right.
That's that, whereas men,
I
don't have problems, man. I'm tough. I got what it takes.
Even if I do, I don't need, you know.
Yeah, I don't need any help. I can do it myself, you know. But I think I said this to you earlier off air, but I'll say it in there. It's like, you know, if Bob would have told me beforehand, Bart, you're going to go on this weekend with 50 men who are going to hug each other and say, I love you. There's no way I would have gone. You know? I'm glad he didn't tell me. But that's what really touched my heart, was just that genuine love and really the love of God. It wasn't just a put-on love. It was God himself who is love.
Yeah, and friends are here with Bart Schutz, and he's just unfolding kind of his personal story and his family story. And you had actual experiences with your father that were so precious that you mentioned. And do you have moments where you looked at each other and he said, Bart, please forgive me, or you said, Dad, please forgive me, and you know.
Yeah, we have. It was more to the family. I actually, on that same weekend, I talked about, we were sitting under the gazebo. The speaker was speaking about forgiveness, and I'm sitting right next to my dad, and my dad has his hand on my leg, which was just an unusual thing anyway, because I never had a relationship with my father, and I thought that was pretty cool. He was being affectionate with me in his way, but he was this foreigner to me. And the speaker's speaking about forgiveness, and I had this deep longing in my heart. I'm like, oh my gosh, maybe this is the time I've been waiting for. Mm. Maybe my father's going to lean over to me and ask me to forgive him. And so the guy gave opportunity in those moments. I'm right there with my dad, and it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And I was just annoyed. I was so annoyed. I was like, come on, man, you don't have any courage, you know? I didn't say that to him in my heart. And then we had the conversation out of the gazebo. And it was, he didn't ask me to forgive him, but that felt like it. You know, but it was corporately as he actually sent a letter to the family and asking us to forgive him. And that was good. I would rather have had a face-to-face, you know, honestly. I had forgiven him, and I told him I'd forgiven him. But it was a 3-year process for me to be able to get to the place where I was able to forgive him. But I did forgive him. And then in his last days, we had some really neat times in his last days of some real sweet, sweet, affectionate, and vulnerable, loving times, you know, that have given me tremendous peace and redemption of all that God has done.
It's such a blessing, friends, there's so much that we can take from this story. There's no family, every family on earth, no matter how broken or whatever, the Lord has named and he loves, scripture says, right?
Amen.
And he knows who he's come to. I mean, he came to the earth because he came to save sinners, and that's everybody.
Yeah, because we needed it.
Everybody. And in some ways, honestly, it's a globe full of orphans.
Yeah.
Just look at how the world is shaking.
Yeah.
Look at the division.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the rage. Look at everything that's going on out there. Why are we surprised?
Right.
This is a manifestation of the human heart.
That's
out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth acts. And everybody's, you know, the battles, the polarization, the pain, the crime, the riots, everything in between. The veil is brought down, or it's like we can see behind the curtain, sort of, is what I mean. We can see behind the curtain. This is the human heart, friends.
Right.
This is, the whole world needs salvation.
That's it.
There's a whole lot more to the story, friends. Bart's going to be with us again tomorrow. We want to keep drilling down deeply into these things and just kind of share from our hearts what we've learned and what the Lord's brought to us. And so today, I just want you to take the vision and the hope of God's desire to bring healing and restoration to you, and to you be able to know his love. God bless you. Have a good day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.